Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can stop a woman on the street nowadays, and you can say to this woman, "Are you a feminist?" Many people will say yes. Many women will say, "Yes, I'm a feminist." But if you press them on the issues, if you press them on the particulars, then they will start to back off a little bit. "Well, I'm not that kind of a feminist. There are a lot of qualified feminists out there." Well, we're going to be talking about feminist fantasies. It is a movement that's been with us for 30 plus years. We'll find out exactly what it is during the course of this hour of Issues Etc. Our guest, Phyllis Schlafly, she's founder and president of Eagle Forum. We'll talk with her in just a moment, but you are welcome to join us as well. We're coming to you live this Sunday evening, March the 9th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. We also have this live in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll take your in-studio email as you write it. Phyllis Schlafly is founder and president of Eagle Forum. She's author and editor of 20 books, including her latest called Feminist Fantasies. Phyllis, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd. Very happy to join you tonight.
Are women better off, Phyllis, than they were 40 years ago on issues like motherhood and marriage?
Well, there's good news and there's bad news. I think they're enjoying more material goods in this life. But you've got millions of women who are divorced now, which I think is one of the effects of the feminist movement. What we need to understand is that for 30 years, the feminist movement waged an attack on full-time homemakers, on marriage and motherhood, in an attempt to make that role economically impossible and socially disdained, maybe despised. They treated the married woman as though she was a second-class citizen. That, in fact, I heard Gloria Steinem just a month ago on national radio saying that a married woman isn't a whole person. She doesn't have any identity except with her husband's name. And I think that's so unfortunate. It makes a lot of unhappy women because it builds this notion that women are victims and wives are victims and mothers are victims, and it's so oppressive for society to expect mothers to look after their children. So on balance, I think the feminist movement has been very destructive of marriage, of motherhood, and of the happiness of women.
If you were asked to write the dictionary definition, that entry in the dictionary for the word feminism, in a paragraph or so, how would you define it?
There's no dictionary or law that tells us what feminism means. You can define it any way you want. When I use it in my book, Feminist Fantasies, I use it as it is used by the prominent feminists, the ones who have written, who talk, who are on radio and television and so forth. Gloria Steinem, Betty Friedan, Patricia Ireland, Eleanor Smeal, Germaine Greer, all of the ones who have been so prominent. And they all went down to Houston in 1977, and they wrote a platform of what they said women wanted. Of course, it wasn't what women wanted. It was what the feminists wanted. And that meant the Equal Rights Amendment, abortion on demand, paid for by the taxpayers, the whole gay rights agenda, the daycare as an entitlement for all women, women in combat in the military. And that's what they mean. And, of course, abortion is the centerpiece of what they mean by feminism. Now, any individual woman can call herself a feminist and define it any way she wants. But that's the way the prominent leaders would define it.
I'd like to get to those issues you mentioned, Phyllis, in kind of rapid-fire session a little later in our conversation. But I'm curious first, how has feminism changed over the last 30 years? You've been watching it for a long time.
I don't think their main dogma and their goals have changed. They are working for a gender-neutral society. That's why they want to feminize the military. That's why they want us to give up the notion that we need mothers and fathers, we only need sex-neutral parents, and they want to forbid us to make any difference between men and women, so they're fighting human nature, they're fighting common sense. Now, you will find that some of the feminists, and I meet every week women who will say, oh, Mrs. Schlafly, I was marching against you when you fought against the Equal Rights Amendment, but I've changed. I thank you for what you did. And I'm meeting these women every week. And you find some of them who realized after they were 40 that they had passed up the opportunity to have a baby, they're very bitter. So some individuals have changed, but I don't believe the dogma, the ideology, has changed.
You have written that feminism is doomed to failure because it is based on an attempt to repeal and restructure human nature. You've also written in your latest book, Feminist Fantasies, that it is incompatible with basic human nature. What do you mean by these things?
Well, their ideology is that God goofed in making us in two different kinds, and they're out to remedy his mistake, or should I say her mistake, and which is the way they would look at it. But yes, they want to pretend that there are no differences between men and women, except those anatomical ones we don't need to discuss. And that's not true. There are all kinds of differences. There are physical differences, there are emotional differences, there are life goal differences. There are all kinds of differences, and they want to pretend that that isn't there. So they are fighting human nature. They're fighting common sense.
Let's take some of those issues you mentioned before. I want to begin with one that you have seen on the horizon for quite some time. It's chronicled in your book, that having to do, well, it's kind of a complex of issues, the Equal Rights Amendment, comparable worth and affirmative action for women. They all kind of are rolled in the same ball. What has feminism sought in these things?
Well, the Equal Rights Amendment was their attempt to write the gender-neutral doctrine into the United States Constitution. Would be a mandate to forbid us to make any difference of treatment. That is, if we draft men, we would have to draft women. If we send women in combat out to fight Saddam Hussein, we would have to send men and women together, probably in equal numbers. And they don't want any special rights for the wife because that's a role. They think role, R-O-L-E, is a dirty four-letter word. And our laws of all of our states, recognizing that only women have babies and men don't have babies, and that babies are helpless creatures who need care, have made it the obligation of the husband to support his wife. Well, they're against those laws because they're sex discriminatory, they say. So I think this is an assault on our whole fabric of our culture, as well as on common sense.
Why is comparable worth this? What is this notion? And why does it, as you say, not equal, equal pay in the workplace?
Well, you will hear some of the feminists talk about they want equal pay for equal work. And a woman gets only 77 cents for every dollar a man gets. Now, the equal pay law, we don't believe that everybody should have equal pay, right? We only believe in equal pay for equal work. If you do the same work, you should get the same pay. That has been the law of the land since 1963. And there are always some law violators. We have procedures for dealing with law violators. There's a whole agency of government set up to deal with that. So when they talk about equal pay, they're not talking about that because there's no controversy about that. I haven't met anybody who's against it. And it is the law of the land. So what they are talking about, first of all, when they say that women make only 77% of 77 cents for what a man makes, they are averaging the pay of all women with the pay of all men. Now, included in those figures are women like myself, who spent 25 years raising my six children. Now, it is perfectly obvious that I am never going to achieve the upper levels in the corporate or business world of a man or woman who stays in the workforce all his life. So we will never have that equal unless women give up taking care of babies. We put all the babies in daycare centers, and that's really what they want. Because most women are going to take years out of their the workforce in order to raise their children. And now the notion of comparable worth is a very sneaky thing. They want a government commission to make a subjective judgment that the jobs that are held mostly by women are comparable or mostly equal to jobs that are held by men, and then have the government set the wage control and raise the wages of the women and freeze the wages of the men. Now, government wage control is another word for socialism, and it's a failure all over the world. And we don't want that in this country.
Let's take up that issue on the other side of the break, as well as the whole notion of affirmative action for women as well. Phyllis Schlafly is our guest, folks. If you'd like to purchase Phyllis Schlafly's new book called Feminist Fantasies, you can do so by calling the publisher, Spence Publishing, toll-free at 1-888-SPEN-PUB. That's 1-888-SPENPUB, or you can order the book online at SpencePublishing.com. That's all one word, SpencePublishing.com. We're talking about feminism with Phyllis Schlafly during this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc. Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues, Etc.
In a culture that has forgotten about the truth of God, God's people need to stand upon His Word firmly and faithfully. Issues, Etc. raises the questions that are in discussion in our society and in our church today in a way that highlights the truth of God amid all the error and the falsehood of men. This is a program that is making a difference in our society, in our church, in our culture, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss the Word of God with Dr. Ken Sherb of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. Is the main point of the Bible to teach us how to live a good life? Are there lots of mistakes in the Bible? Is the New Testament more important for us today than the Old Testament? We'll talk about this next week on Issues, Etc. with Dr. Ken Sherb. Now, if you'd like to know what we're going to be discussing on the program for the rest of March and all of the month of April, you can go to our website at issuesetc.org. There you'll find a list of topics and guests for the weeks ahead. And while you're there, be sure to read several articles on the issue of feminism. The website address again, issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live on this Sunday evening, March the 9th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. And that live in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. To wrap up this issue about ERA, comparable worth, and affirmative action, very briefly, Phyllis, why is affirmative action for women a bad idea?
It's a bad idea because I think if women go into the workforce, they should be willing to compete equally with the men. If you've had a grievance against you, you are entitled to a remedy for that grievance. But you are not entitled to the grievance of somebody else. And what affirmative action for women does is to say, oh, well, 50 years ago, women weren't well treated in the workforce, so we're going to give you a preference in getting the job, the promotion, or the salary increase right now. Now, there's nothing fair about giving you a preference like that when you have no grievance. It's affirmative action is a theory of group rights that because somebody else in a group like you was hurt 25 or 50 years ago, therefore you should have a benefit to take it away from somebody else today. It's about like saying that because in many states women didn't vote before 1920, today we should give women two votes. You know, people would think that's ridiculous, wouldn't they?
Earlier you talked about abortion as a centerpiece of feminism. Tell us about that.
If you listen to all the feminists, in fact, when you see a woman talking about women's rights on television, you should think to yourself, is this a woman who thinks that the right to kill your unborn baby is the most important woman's right? And that is true of all the feminists. I mean, it's true of Hillary Clinton, of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of Gloria Steinem, of Betty Friedan, of the whole members of the National Organization for Women. They think that is the first and most important woman's right. That's so sad.
In this connection, do feminists have global goals with regard to abortion as well?
Oh, yes. That's the way they work in the United Nations. And they are trying to use our tax dollars to finance abortions all around the rest of the world. They are working for the feminist agenda in whatever, you know, they have these United Nations conferences all the time, and whatever they're supposed to be talking about, whether it's trade or housing or whatever, they're always working around to the feminist agenda. They really laid that out in the Beijing meeting several years ago, when Hillary Clinton was the lead American there, but Bella Abzug was really running it. You may remember her. And they laid out their feminist agenda. And this intimidates a lot of these little countries that are dependent on foreign aid when they see that the American delegation is working for this radical agenda.
Is abortion...
Although, I'm going to say one more thing about their global goals. Now they're trying to get our Senate to ratify the United Nations Treaty on Discrimination Against Women. It's known by its acronym CEDAW. And unfortunately, this was signed years ago by Jimmy Carter. But old treaties don't die. They stay there in the bottom drawer. And it's a very bad treaty, which would even be worse than the proposed Equal Rights Amendment. It even extends to monitoring our customs and our textbooks, as well as our laws and practices and regulations. And the worst part about it is that it sets up a committee of so-called experts, that's what they call them, that means experts in feminism, who would be monitoring what we're doing. You know, this means a committee of people like Hillary Clinton and Barbara Boxer to monitor our relationships between men and women, our laws, to see if they make any difference of treatment, and generally to harass us. And the whole idea is ridiculous. I mean, one of the biggest fantasies of the feminist movement is they're painting American women as victims. And the truth is that the American woman is the most fortunate class of people who ever lived on the face of the earth.
Is abortion pro-woman?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think that it's very hurtful to women, and we're beginning to hear some of the unhappy stories of the effects of abortion. This shows why the promiscuous lifestyle it hurts women so much more, because they're left with the effects, like pregnancy or abortion or social diseases of various kinds. No, I think when a man has his one-night stand, he thinks he's home free, just gives the woman $500, go have an abortion.
Let's talk about daycare a bit. This has been in the news the last couple of years, competing research showing whether or not daycare is good for the kids or bad for the kids. How did we get to the point where it seems as though it is presumed that a woman at a certain point will leave the children at home, put them in daycare, and go to work if she is worth her salt?
Well, that's a feminist line, and they've taught a lot of women that. And they teach the women, and one of the examples of the oppression of women is that society expects mothers to look after their babies. Oh, what an oppression. And, of course, many of us don't look upon that at all. We look upon the care of babies as better than most of the jobs of the world. But anyway, they are big promoters of daycare, which, of course, means subsidized by the taxpayers, paid for by the taxpayers. You know, Todd, in Bernard Goldberg's best-selling book called Bias, he talks about what he calls the biggest story you've never seen on TV. And that's the story about the problems of daycare, the behavior problems and the disease problems. And he said the reason you don't see this on TV is that the feminists in the media who are dropping their kids off in the morning and picking them up at night don't want anything on the air that reflects on their lifestyle.
Let's talk about the media when we come back from this break. Folks, as we head into this break, I'd like to remind you that Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We are also not affiliated with the Lutheran Hour, with Lutheran Hour Ministries, or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is entirely listener-supported, and we desperately need your support. Please consider sending us a special gift during this season of Lent. You can make a donation by credit card by calling our automated resource line 24 hours a day, 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. We're talking about feminism. Phyllis Schlafly, founder and president of Eagle Forum, is our guest. She's author and editor of 20 books, including her latest, Feminist Fantasies. When we come back, we're going to talk about the role of the media in the feminist agenda and get a few other of these issues in, like no-fault divorce and women's studies in the university and the college. Stay with us. The courts of justice are there to protect our rights and to right the wrongs that occur between men. Should Christians take one another to court? What's the difference between conflict resolution and Christian reconciliation? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is called Confession and Forgiveness by Ted Kober. You can order the book online by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the book, and you can even read an excerpt, issuesetc.org. Or order by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. Now, when you call, be sure to ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Confession and Forgiveness, 1-800-325-3040, weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
God isn't finished teaching. When it comes to the Lord's Supper, the words of Jesus say it all. I'm Pastor Todd Wilkin. Today we continue the question, how can eating and drinking the Lord's Supper do such great things? You know, we could eat mountains of bread, and we could drink rivers of wine, and never receive a single benefit, were it not for those simple, unambiguous words of Jesus, take and eat, this is my body given for you, take and drink, this is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. The words of Jesus promise that when we eat and drink his body and blood, we eat and drink forgiveness and salvation. Now, can these words of Jesus ever be separated from the eating and drinking of his body and blood? No, that wouldn't be the Lord's Supper as he has given it to us. Jesus gave us his body and blood to eat and drink. not to lock up in a safe, not to venerate or worship, not to leave unconsumed on the altar. The words of Jesus say it all. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, for the forgiveness of your sins.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on why he's a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
By the time I was in high school, I had been driven away from the Christian faith by my Lutheran Church's moralism. After a period of agnosticism, I was brought back to Christ by the persistent arguments of college friends. Then, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I discovered a gospel that was roundly and soundly biblical and able to be defended on objective grounds. I found real Christ-centered sacraments that weren't voided by the depth of my sin or by the false hopes of moralism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? The number again is 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration. Folks, I'm excited about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. It's called Confession and Forgiveness. It is an important resource for you, for your family, and for your church. What it does is focus the church, you and your family, on first things, the first thing in the Christian life, the forgiveness of sins purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross. And that is forgiveness that we have from God. It is forgiveness that we have for ourselves, and forgiveness that we are not only privileged but also responsible to share with one another in the church, in our families, and elsewhere. The book is called Confession and Forgiveness. If you'd like to get it, you can call Concordia Publishing House during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask to receive the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, called Confession and Forgiveness, 1-800-325-3040, or you can order the book online. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House, the publisher of Confession and Forgiveness, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. We're talking about feminism. Phyllis Schlafly, founder and president of Eagle Forum, is our guest. Phyllis, what role has the media played in the feminist agenda?
Enormous role, and that's a big part of my book, Feminist Fantasies, which I think your listeners would find very helpful. The media have made themselves into a spokesman for the feminist movement. They put out their line. For example, the national media constantly and repeatedly promoted this line that we are moving into a time of serial marriages. People get married, divorced, married, divorced, married, divorced. And they put down and disdain the idea of lifetime marriage and the traditional marriage pattern with a husband breadwinner and wife homemaker. In fact, their chief feminist, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, now in the Supreme Court, wrote in her book that the concept of husband breadwinner, wife homemaker must be eliminated from the law. And again and again in the media, and all those feminists I was debating in the 70s and 80s were always, they used the words Ozzie and Harriet as an epithet, because that was the TV series with the traditional family. And that was, they tried to pretend that that was just a relic from a bygone era. And nobody would live like that anymore. I mean, if you've got any smarts, you've got to leave your children in daycare and move into the workforce or postpone having children.
Before we go to the phones, how did we, Phyllis, how did we get from housewife to single mother? to the standard of the old Ozzie and Harriet being the stay-at-home housewife with a husband and children, to the standard being single motherhood?
Well, I think you can lay it mostly at the feet of the feminist movement. They definitely tried to put down the notion, the role of the full-time homemaker. Betty Friedan talked about the home as a comfortable concentration camp. And their buzzword in the 70s was liberation. What did they want to be liberated from? Well, it's clear they wanted to be liberated from home, husband, family, and children. And then this came along with this in the same years as the sexual liberation movement, which was a different movement, but it was parallel. And when they got women to be promiscuous, too, then they just simply eliminated all shame of having a baby out of wedlock and the shame of divorce. So I think you can lay it right at their feet.
And did no-fault divorce, is that something that was on their list as well?
Absolutely. And I think that's the worst thing that happened to this country, because it means that, you know, with all these other evils out there, you don't have to have an abortion if you don't want one. You don't have to look at pornography if you don't want to. But you don't have to take drugs if you don't want to. But you can have a divorce forced upon you, whether you want it or not.
We're coming to you live this Sunday evening, March the 9th. If you've got a question or a comment for our guest, Phyllis Schlafly, you can give us a call now, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Or if you prefer, you can email us live here in the studio at issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Earl is calling from Newark, California, listening on KFAX. Earl, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, good evening. Very interesting topic. You touched on an issue that's really kind of an issue with me, because I've always had problems with this movement. I think it's hypocrisy, it's duplicity. It's never really been challenged. Mrs. Schlafly touched on several issues. She touched on the media, and I do think that the American media do tend to treat the feminist movement quite differently. They do practice group politics. They treat certain groups differently as they accordingly. Yeah, and the feminists are generally treated with kids gloves. Some of the things that they say are reported with as facts without any commentary. She talked earlier about the equal pay issue. You know, if it is only 75 cents or 77 cents, whatever it is, to the dollar, then why does a man have a job? It would be to the capitalist advantage as a business person to hire the person that pays the least.
Earl, did you
get the return for my money? But I'm sorry, but let me get to my issue. What I wanted to say was, why is it that the issue of racism in the feminist movement have never been really addressed except by a few people, like author Ishmael Reed has touched on it, a few black feminists have, but the issue of racism, they've never really been called on that issue, and I think people with the national outlook like Mrs. Schlafly, or the national exposure as Mrs. Schlafly, could do well to call them on that issue.
All right, thank you very much, Earl. It's a good question. The feminism and the issue of racism, Phyllis.
The feminist movement is a very elitist movement. They really don't relate to blacks, or they don't relate a whole lot to union women. The feminist movement is a group of women, all of whom think they ought to be corporation vice presidents or hotshot lawyers or something like that. And helping other women is really not on their list. Now, where the only time they really like to talk about the race issue is when they try to pretend that women in this country were treated like blacks. Now, that is just a big fat lie. And yet, when they promoted their Equal Rights Amendment, what they were trying to say was, we've got to remedy all these centuries of discrimination, and we've got to apply the same standard to sex that we apply to race. In other words, if we take people regardless of race into the military and assign them to military combat, then we have to do that for women too. And they are not parallel situations. And so I hope I've answered his question as well as I can.
You speak at some length in your book, Feminist Fantasies, about women's studies in the university and college. Tell us about those.
Well, the women's studies is a big misnomer. They're not women's studies. They are feminist studies. And they are basically indoctrination programs in the feminist ideology. I always tell college students, don't waste your college dollar on women's studies. I mean, you're paying a high price to go to college, and you're not going to learn anything. You're probably not going to learn things that are true. You're going to learn things that are false, and it's going to be pretty useless to you in getting a job unless you want to work for the National Organization for Women after you graduate. The way the feminist movement has built itself over the years is by the technique called the consciousness-raising session. And they get together a bunch of women, and then they exchange their horror stories about how badly some man has treated them. And grievances are like flowers. If you water them, they will grow. And so little grievances grow into big grievances, and they develop this idea of victimology. Now, the college courses in women's studies do this same thing. And they don't teach my books. There are some very fine books that expose the what's wrong with feminism, like my books. Like Carolyn Graglia's book, Domestic Tranquility, they don't use books like that. They use books like those by Simone de Beauvoir, who wrote The Second Sex, and who called marriage an obscene bourgeois institution. She, of course, knew nothing about marriage because she wasn't married. She was living in sin all her life. But I urge college students not to waste your dollar on the propaganda you will get in these women's studies courses.
With only a minute and a half before we go to this break, let's talk a little bit about how feminism has affected our view of men.
It has affected the feminist view of men very much. Of course, they're always claiming they want men to be sensitive and caring and so forth, but they really don't. Like, they want men to be good providers, even though that's not what they're talking about. The feminist movement, because of the way the media have echoed them and supported them and put out their dogmas, has had a great effect on our culture. And it has changed the attitudes of a lot of women. It's changed the attitudes of some men. But, you know, funny thing I've noticed, it hasn't changed the attitudes of babies at all. They just have the same attitudes that babies had 100 years ago. And they do cry for their mother. And it's so unfortunate that this movement has taught women that it's beneath them to spend their time caring for a baby. They should be out in the workforce somewhere. It's too bad.
Folks, if you'd like to receive a free tape of this broadcast on feminism for yourself or maybe for a feminist friend, relative, or a colleague, you can contact the local church that sponsors Issues Etc. They'll send you a free cassette recording of this broadcast. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address for that sponsor right after the Issues Etc. close theme. We're talking about feminism. Phyllis Schlafly is our guest, founder and president of Eagle Forum, and author and editor of 20 books, including her latest, Feminist Fantasies. You can purchase the book online at SpencePublishing.com. That's SpencePublishing.com. Or you can call Spence Publishing toll-free at 1-888-SPENPUB. That's 1-888-SPENPUB. Ask for the book, Feminist Fantasies by Phyllis Schlafly, our guest during this hour of Issues Etc. 1-888-SPENPUB. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about men under feminism, and we'll wrap up our conversation with Phyllis Schlafly.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is private confession and absolution a Roman Catholic practice? Did you know that Martin Luther called this practice a third sacrament? and how can this practice help resolve conflict in the church? You'll find answers to these questions with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Confession and Forgiveness. The book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this book on our website, issuesetc.org, and click the What's New section, issuesetc.org. Confession and Forgiveness is written by Ted Kober of Peacemaker Ministries, a Christian reconciliation organization. The book costs $9.99 plus shipping and handling. Confession and Forgiveness, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House. That number, 1-800-325-3040.
Folks, we've got about another 10 minutes with Phyllis Schlafly talking about feminism, and we will be continuing this discussion on feminism live in the next hour on the Internet. You can join us by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo that you find there, and you'll be able to listen, issuesetc.org. We'll also be taking your phone calls for the next 10 minutes with Phyllis Schlafly and for the next hour at 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We'll let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment, 1-800-730-2727. We'll also take your email at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, the best of our callers in the next hour will receive a free complimentary copy of Phyllis Schlafly's new book called Feminist Fantasies, or call in number 1-800-730-2727. We are coming to you live this Sunday evening, March the 9th. Write this number down and give us a call for the next 10 minutes and in the hour that follows on the Internet, 1-800-730-2727. If you get a busy signal, keep trying. We will free up phone lines by taking your calls, 1-800-730-2727. We especially want to hear from any feminists listening. 1-800-730-2727, our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Before the break, Phyllis, we were talking about men under feminism. I asked you at the very beginning, are women better off after 30 years of feminism? I'll ask you the same question about men. Are men better off after 30 years of feminism?
No, I don't think they're better off. For maybe some years of their life, if they like the free love, well, maybe they can have a fun for a while. But, you know, the world hasn't found any better way of living together than with a good marriage. And you find some men are so turned off by what's happened with the changing attitudes of women that they're just not moving for marriage. It's unfortunate. I think the feminist movement has had a bad effect on both men and women. I think it's broken up a lot of marriages. In my book, Feminist Fantasies, for example, I talk. There are two movies which really show how feminism breaks up a marriage. One is the movie Kramer versus Kramer, and the other one is War of the Roses. And both these cases, they were breakup of the marriage. In both cases, there were none of the usual factors that you find in divorce. There was no adultery, no alcoholism, no abuse of any kind, no financial problems. In both cases, it was just the woman who associated with some feminists, got the idea she didn't have her own identity, the indignity of being living under a man's name. She had to walk out and leave her children and search for her own identity in the workforce. And I've seen this happen to so many marriages. It's so unfortunate, and it hurts everybody. Everybody's a loser on that.
Let's go to the phones. First up, Leona calling from Bremerton, Washington, listening on KLFE. Leona, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I wanted to point out, and I'm sure Phyllis knows this, that both of the cases before the Supreme Court, the feminists used those women who, and then just threw them away just for their own benefit to get these abortion laws on the books.
You're talking about the two women in the abortion cases, Roe and Doe?
Right.
Oh, yes. Well, yes, and of course, the both the women now are very pro-life, and the one of them did seek an abortion, but she didn't have one. The other one never wanted an abortion at all. She was, as you pointed out, she was just used by the lawyers as a pawn in the game.
Let's talk with Stephanie. She's listening on KSIV here in St. Louis. Stephanie, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to get through. I just wanted to say to her that I've raised my children. I got one grown and out of the house and stayed home with them and raised them, very happy and proud to do so. But I'm seeing more and more women staying home, and I'm just wondering if that growth to stay home, despite the feminist movement, I'm just wondering if they're really all that successful.
You're wondering if more women, if it's a trend and more women are staying home?
Yes, I think more and more women I know do stay home, and if they do work, they work out of the home to be home with the children.
It's a good question, Stephanie. Thank you very much.
It's a very good question, and yes, I think you're seeing a reversal of a lot of attitudes. You see, the young women can look at what happened to the ones who follow the feminist line, and they can see that it's a dead-end road. For example, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch recently ran a big spread on a couple of aging now women, and they were sitting there looking at their scrapbook with pictures of Betty Friedan. Now, when I look at my scrapbook, I can see pictures of 14 beautiful grandchildren. I think life is full of choices, and you either make the choice that will bring you long-term happiness or you don't.
Listening on KCCV in Kansas City, Mark is on the line. Mark, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, I was curious if, say, you're working with someone that's a militant feminist, anti-God person, very in-your-face angry person, what's the best way to handle that in a Christian-like manner?
Good question, Mark.
This is in the workforce, Mark, right?
Yeah, or really outside of it. I thought of the one at work first.
Well, the first thing is don't marry her, because you're headed for trouble if you marry her. But as you point out, they are angry. They're angry when they wake up in the morning, and I don't think you're going to succeed or be happy if that's your attitude toward life in the first place. We all have problems. If anybody doesn't have any problems, I'd like to hear from you. But it's your attitude toward life. It's your knowing that God gives you your identity, and you don't need to depend on your situation. Well, I've had a number of friends who a feminist like this has come in the workforce, and she arranged to get him fired. And it's tough to deal with it. You have to be careful about any humor. They don't have any sense of humor. You can't make jokes with them about anything. And you just have to be very careful what you say. The language is very important. They take offense if you call them a lady. They think that's a dirty four-letter word. You have to say chairperson and business person and things like that. It's difficult dealing with them. I think you would get a lot of good tips out of my book, Feminist Fantasies, and that's why I wrote it, because really nobody else has the courage to deal with them head-on and expose their hypocrisies and their double standards and their bad attitude.
Phyllis, there's so much more we could talk about in the course of this hour, but with only about a minute or just slightly over that, how has feminism influenced the Christian church?
Well, they've developed the idea that Christianity is somehow oppressive to women. And, of course, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's the Christian religion that because of the respect we have for the mother of Jesus, lifted women out of the way she was treated in all these other countries. Just look at the way women are treated in the Muslim countries and in other countries of the world. And the Christian religion has been wonderful for women. It has made her respected and taken care of, and the husbands, wonderful husbands who are good to their wives, and it's been great for women, but they're crying around because they want to be ordained, and they think this is oppressive of women, and we belong to a church that doesn't ordain women, and I think that's fine. I have nothing the matter. I have no problem with having roles for men and women, but they're out to break it up. There's no question about it.
Phyllis Schlafly, thank you very much for being our guest during this hour of Issues, Etc.
And for those who want to know more, I urge you to get my book, Feminist Fantasies. I think you'll find it good reading. And Todd, you'll tell them how to get it.
Absolutely. That book, Feminist Fantasies, can be had by calling toll-free Spence Publishing, toll-free 1-888-SPENPUB. That's S-P-E-N-P-U-B. You can also go online and order the book from Spence Publishing at spencepublishing.com. Our guest, Phyllis Schlafly, founder and president of Eagle Forum and author and editor of 20 books, including her latest, called Feminist Fantasies. Now, we will continue to take your phone calls in the next hour on the Internet with Phyllis Schlafly, and we'll be talking with her. There's so much more to talk with her. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Feminism not only runs counter to human nature because it denies that there's a difference between men and women, or that there should be a difference between men and women, but it robs us of so much of what God has given us by virtue of creating us male and female. There's a divine purpose behind this. Not only that we would be different, not only that we would come together as husband and wife and produce children, but this is how God has made us. Can there be anything wronger or wrong-headed than a movement that would deny that fundamental truth? I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Persons who are intrigued by the topics and discussions on Issues, Etc. sometimes ask us how they can learn more about our faith. If you would like to know more about the doctrinal positions of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we recommend a couple of resources, Martin Luther's Small Catechism and a copy of the Augsburg Confession. The Small Catechism is a short hardback book that is arranged in question and answer form. It's a favorite tool of pastors who have the responsibility of teaching the Lutheran faith to prospective church members. The Augsburg Confession is a short paperback document which helps to explain the doctrinal position of the Missouri Synod. Both of these resources are available through the Ministry of Issues, Etc. The cost is $10. If you would like to have a copy of the Augsburg Confession and Luther's Small Catechism, call the Issues, Etc. resource line now at 1-800-737-0172. The cost is $10, 1-800-737-0172.